Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Everyone.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
What up, what up?
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where two black-ass girls invade the messiest marriage show on earth.
Married at First Sight.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And we are so happy to finally... Guys, we had an email exchange going back from July. This is how long we've been trying to figure this out. Finally, welcome to the show, a very special, special guest who is going to help us kick off this week's episode recap. Emmy-nominated writer, former head writer for Jon Stewart, comedian, director, actor, host of the Celebrity Book Club podcast, and a huge reality TV fanatic like all of us, Chelsea Devantes.
Hi, you guys. I'm so happy to be here. This has been a long time coming, and the moment, it's worth it. It felt worth it, every moment.
Yes. I love that. Welcome.
Welcome. So we know that you're a big Bachelor Nation fan and you're watching this season, right?
Yeah. I love that you guys just tapped out given the title of your podcast. It's just the funniest. Like, that's how bad Zach is.
Yeah.
He's fully tapped out.
Good news.
Have you been like checking in at all, or
I don't
or
know
what?
A single person's name, but Zach's name. I don't know.
I think the first two episodes I watched some like TikTok recaps, but then I kind of bowed out after that. So what's happening? Yeah. Give us the tea.
Not much.
Damn.
Wow.
Not the high pitched. Not much.
You know, it's for some reason that show is it got in too early. I was too young. Now it's in my cells forever. I can't stop watching even when it sucks. It is shocking how bad they are. It's like someone in the producer world really thinks bland, personalityless men are the cornerstone of the franchise. Even to the point where it's like they brought on Tayshia and Caitlyn to be a host, right? They're like two wildly different crazy girls. And then Jesse Palmer, who I didn't think you could give less than,
honestly,
like, than nothing. And he really can.
Right.
Yeah.
Really can.
That man had a whole season of mess and he's just giving us nothing as the host. So what's going on with Zach? I do think he's going to, I think he's going to be the ones that ends up married like forever. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
okay.
The franchise will point to him and be like, yeah, look at these two who made it work. I think that's coming for us. And I will say I miss the show for when it really was more about love. You know what I mean? Like there was a moment where like these, can we swear on this podcast?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, please do.
There was a moment when these fuckers were really out here, like locking down a relationship. And now the engagements last much. They go away earlier. You know, it's bad. So you don't miss the season at all. No pains of I wish I was watching.
No.
No, yeah, I can't say it. No, I think it was like a nice little routine, I guess, that we had.
Will you come back in for Paradise?
We might.
Maybe.
So we've never said that we're done with The Bachelor completely. Mm-hmm. So we're not doing this season, but we're definitely going to see who's the Bachelorette, what's happening on Paradise. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank you for giving us a little update. Nobody knows what's happened. We've tried.
Kind of nothing's kind of happening.
Nothing's happening.
I will say it is amazing watching him send home the mess. Every time a girl's messy, he's like, go home.
Yeah.
And like, that's revelatory. You're like, wow.
Yes.
Anytime a moment of anything, he's like, bye. So that's real fun. Yes. And then
Good.
The girl, there's like a girl named Greer who really wanted a high tea date because they're like in London because she tattooed the word and a cup of tea on her arm. And she doesn't mean it like spill the tea. She's just like loves tea. And she's like having a breakdown that she didn't get the date with where they go to tea because he knows she loves tea. She's got an arm that she loves tea. Mm. This is also the girl who in 2016 defended someone else's use blackface.
This person.
Okay. She is an arc now. Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
A full arc. All right. I mean, it's just like, I will say like when you saw the apology, you're like, okay. But then you're like, wait. So it wasn't you, somebody else. So you did not have to be involved. Somebody else.
You didn't have to do this.
Yeah.
And it was in 2016, arguably the most aware this country has ever been of issues.
Yeah, that's what like, I'm saying.
There was no way to claim ignorance. Like that was a full choice.
Yep.
And now she's having a breakdown about not going to high tea. I enjoy it.
Oh, jeez.
Oh my God.
Damn. That's well, funny. Thank you for that little update.
Yeah.
And
it's my honor.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh my God. And you, okay, so you're, you work in television, right? And you are a huge fan of pop culture, celebrity. Have you always been interested in pop culture? Like back in the Perez Hilton and D-listed days, were you reading those blogs? Like,
No. It's like because of my podcast, I get put in the pop culture category, but my relation to it is very odd. So I make a joke that's real, but it's a joke, which is that celebrity memoirs were my favorite book genre growing up. And that's what happens when your nearest bookstore is Walmart. Like that's the books, you know?
That's what they are. Oh my God. That's funny.
And, but I deeply, deeply loved these books. Like they were spiritual tomes to me. Like I know they're looked at as like trash literature, but like I feel like that's just a terrible. It was just people who were like, women don't matter. Let's call these books trash literature. Yep. But inside them, they're like, here's what it was like to try and make it in this industry. Here's the sexual assault I went through. Here's the you know the abortion I didn't have access to. Like so, it has all these incredible things into it. So I loved them. They really raised me. And then I was we moved around a lot, but kind of my biggest formative years were in like really, really tiny towns. So there was like a place that had a projector that would show movies on Fridays in the summer. Mm. So it's like,
wow.
So I loved magazines, the grocery store rack, like that was my life. But I wouldn't say I was like, oh, what's so-and-so up to? I was like, what's going on in the world? Does anyone else live better than this? And so I've really been into it that way. But I would say like, I was not like, I was never into the Perez Hilton years. That's a nice one for me. You know what I mean? I don't have to look back and apologize.
Yeah,
I was always,
nice.
I was sticking with my People magazine, you know?
Nice. Yes. Good for you.
OG, I love that. So on your podcast, Celebrity Book Club, you specifically cover celebrity memoirs. You recently did Kristen Chenoweth's memoir, Pamela Anderson, Prince Harry's memoir, The Spare, which I want to get into those.
We at times make men's memoir exceptions where we will at times do a men's memoir. But I will say on the whole, this isn't even gendered. It's fact. Men's memoirs. Almost always horrible. And female memoir. Yeah, because we, you know, it sucks. It's like we've commodified female vulnerability. Plus, on the whole, we're better at it. So those books are like beautiful. And men's memoirs are usually like Matthew McConaughey writing like a long poem about like his dick, you know?
Oh my God. Oh wow.
Oh no.
Okay. So I'll be honest, celebrity memoirs have always made me nervous. Because they always say, like, you don't want to see how the sausage was made. Like, you don't want to meet your hero. Like, I've always been, like, nervous to read and learn too much. What, now that you've read so many, like, what do these memoirs, I think, for fans, like, what do they do for parasocial relationships for celebrities and their fans, right? Fans and their, you know, their favorite celebrities reading those books.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think a thing I say on the podcast a lot is that, like, you cannot escape your book. You know what I mean? You can't. Mm. You could send a voice memo to a ghostwriter and you will, your essence will always be in your book. There's just too many words. It gets captured. Mm. It's in there. Okay. So definitely if you're like in love with someone and they, and they truly suck, you'll hear it in the book for sure. Like you just can't get out of it. That being said, I do think it's worth finding out, because if there's someone you love and you read their book, it'll truly change your whole life. It'll be like what they say the Bible is supposed to do. Like it will shift your whole being, because I think also, and this is like getting like so academic about it, but like as children or in culture, like we need archetypes and fairy tales and things to like learn morality and our place in life. And that's what celebrities are. But in a modern scope, like watching something else happen to someone and then hearing it from their own words and then reflecting it into your own life, I think is like, can just hugely shift you. So that's how I see them.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. And then I guess since it's like a I think generally what nonfiction try to do, teach you something, but if it's coming from the voice or coming from someone that you already know and trust, then that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also like, ideally, they're just telling you the story of their life. The ones that are like, I'm here to give advice, are usually like a half diet, half style book. Like not some of them. Okay. Usually pretty bad, but it's like Gabrielle Union's first memoir. Life-changing. I bought like 13 copies of it. I started passing out at Christmas. Really? I was like, yes, everybody has to read this. And she's just telling you the story of her life. And it's so impactful. And her takeaways on her own life, I've like taken into my own life. Wow. Then there's books like I recently read Alicia Keys. It's coming on the podcast. Woo, so bad. So like, I came here neutral to positive on Alicia. Yeah. And I'm leaving fully out. Like, I'm so out.
That's my fear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It can happen. It can happen. So the books take, you know, it really depends on like what you want to give to a book. And I think for me, I know it's like just so dorky, but like books are fucking gifts. It's like when you have no resources in life, there's always a library. Like books will change your life. And if you write a book and you gave it the effort of a magazine, I'm out. You know what I mean? Yeah. How dare you?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, definitely. Curious, though, in kind of the arc of the internet and especially Instagram and TikTok, the celebrity memoir to me seems reminiscent of when celebrities used to have websites where they used to post updates. And they used to be like, this is what's happening and this is what's going on with me. And it was probably not even them. How do these celebrity memoirs even sell now? Like, people are still being booked for celebrity memoirs. Like, and you say they do change lives. Like, do you think that your podcast, and there's a couple of celebrity memoir podcasts, are part of those narratives that kind of sell those books? Or is it that people really want to know 365 pages of Jessica Simpson?
Well, I will say the other two podcasts, their whole thing is like, we know you don't want to read the book. We'll recap it for
read
you.
It
like
for
they,
you.
They are not like buy the book. Like they, and I'm very different. I'm like, obviously if it's a bad book, don't buy it. But like when it's a good book, like you should, not definitely, but like it can be incredible. I will also say typically celebrity memoirs have been looked at like long websites, you know?
Yeah.
And some of them do that. Like J-Lo's book, a pamphlet at best. You know what I mean? Like it's not a book.
J-Lo's book.
Yeah, no, she was like, I mean, I don't even know why she agreed to do it. I just, she shouldn't have done it. A lot of beautiful pictures. But when you really do write a book, I think the idea that it's a celebrity memoir is something that's like very gendered and sexist as a way of looking at it like, oh, well, that's just like fucking trash. It's just like hot goss about this like loser celeb's life. It's like, it's a book. It's a memoir. Like the art of memoir is so gorgeous when done well. And some of them are doing it really, really well. And I think those should be treated like real fucking books if they are.
Yeah.
And if they write a shitty book, then we should lambast them and do podcast episodes about them as I do. But like, it's like Jeanette McCurdy's book. Like that is, it is so beautifully written. It's stunning. And yeah, I think like, particularly from the scope of looking at them as women's chick lit, it's kind of like Mm-hmm. It's like what they've done to rom-coms. We're like, well, rom-coms mm-hmm. aren't real movies. It's like, I saw a tweet that said, rom-coms are movies about women having happy endings. And you guys are like, fuck these movies. It's like a woman getting what she wants and having a good time. And everyone's like, these aren't real movies. So it's like, screw you guys for calling that. It's like calling reality TV like, oh, like you're just like fucking garbage viewers. It's like, there's an art form to that shit too. And honestly, they're casting a more inclusive, widely diverse, layered group of women than I've ever seen in a television show. Like, when have you ever seen a television show of 10 women in the same genre of person and yet so wildly nuanced and complicated? Different. Reality TV can do it, but somehow fiction still can't.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic point. From all the celebrity memoirs you've read, as I'm sure you've read a million at this point, do you notice any like themes or patterns across all the celebs? Like they had a similar childhood. This happened, or what are some of those?
On our Patreon, we have a celebrity book club drinking bingo sheet where you can listen to the episode and look at your bingo sheet and take some drinks. So some very common themes, like almost every female celebrity memoir has a psychic moment. It's just always a psychic moment. But I mean, like, it's more surprising when they don't have them. So we're always looking out for a psychic moment. A lot of them write memory mush where they're just like, oh my God, they always talk about what their dad smelled like when they hugged him. It's just like, when dad hugged me, he smelled like fucking pine trees and soap. And I'm just like, I cannot read what another one of your dads smells like. I don't want this. The worst ones will start telling you about their grandparents. It's like, don't start at grandparents. Barely tell me about your parents, please.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but the good ones tell you relevant stories. The bad ones kind of just tell you like, and then we kind of ate this all the time. And then, Mick Jagger and Henry Kissinger will be making appearances in books. Like, you can't even believe how many books these men are in. They're in Mick Jagger, I think, is up to 9 celebrity memoirs where he has an appearance. Henry Kissinger, I think, is at 10.
Henry Kissinger,
a war criminal.
I was about to say, that's so specific.
The guy you vaguely remember from history class is in these memoirs.
Wow.
Like, Cher becomes a pen pal with him. Because she feels like really self-conscious about her education and dropping out. And then she becomes a pen. You know, you've seen her tweets. Like, she's not spelling anything. She's like, I became a pen pal with Henry Kissinger. You could see that it means a lot to her. And it's like, what is he doing writing with you? What are you guys doing?
With Cher. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Why?
That is not the theme or pattern I thought you were going to say.
No, definitely not.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. Oh, and Husbingers. That's the other big one. That's a huge pattern.
Wendy Williams.
Wendy Williams. Oh, Scary Spice. Reba McEntire.
Scary Spice. Fuck.
I forgot about Scary Spice.
Oh, my God. The Judds. Yeah.
Reba McEntire had her husband managing her.
Oh, my God. Wait, this is my favorite one. Horrible. Reba has her first husband's her husband, Jura, but she's not hugely successful. So it's just like kind of some husband answering the phone and booking bus trips. Like he's not really doing a lot. He's just sort of being like, I'm the husband. I'll take the phone calls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then second husband is an insurance salesman who convinces Reba that he should be her manager. Wait, I have to look up his name. It's crazy. It's
not the insurance sales. I already know this going down.
I already know you stole all her money.
It's Narvel Blackstock. Okay, so Narvel Blackstock.
What's his name?
Yes. Yes, exactly. So he sells insurance. He's like, I should be your manager. Okay, he manages her whole career. A lot of her book is about him. He has a son named Brandon Blackstock, and he had this son before he met Reba because he left his wife and kids to be with Reba.
Reba.
But, you know. So Reba's whole memoir was sort of like, I'm not a husband stealer. Why do you guys say this about me? In the book, when she lays out the math, you're like, you guys were definitely
cheating. Someone's husband?
Like, you laid out the math. I mean, I'm not even going to say stole. I would say he was throwing himself at her and accepted.
Okay.
But this man was married. And Narvel Blackstock has a son from his previous marriage named Brandon Blackstock. Mm-hmm. He trains Brandon to be a husbander, and Brandon marries Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson.
No! Kelly Clarkson's ex-husband is Reba McEntire. Stop.
Yes, yes. And he became Kelly's husbander.
Yeah, and terrible. Terrible.
Yes, and he was like, give me your farms, give me your cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's making paying him
wild alimony.
Narvel, it's a father-son husband duo.
Damn, oh, I know they're living it up in the Maldives right now.
Oh, and then Narvel left Reba for a young blonde woman like 2 years ago.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
What? Reba's like 75 years old.
And yeah, exactly. In pandemic, he was like, okay, I think I've gotten enough money from you. Right. I'm going to. I mean, this is my interpretation of
course. Yeah, usually.
Then he starts dating like a young woman who I believe they were friends with. I've really tried to Google it, can't find a lot, so allegedly.
Wow.
That is
new. Sipping the tea.
Wild. I know. All that going on with Reba. Goddamn.
I didn't know her husband's son is Brandon.
Yes. Yes. Damn. I will never, ever on my life trust a husbander.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Sorry it out, yo. That's wild.
Oh my God, that's so crazy. Wow. Oh, Chelsea, I'm so glad you came.
I know, thank you for that.
Okay, so another question about unnecessary memoirs, right? We've seen a lot of Bachelor memoirs. We've seen, you covered Rachel Lindsay's, which we also did too. Mm-hmm. I thought hers was really great, and she's been through a lot of different ups and downs and arcs, so that was actually really good, and she's in her 30s. But when you talk about Tyler C, when you talk about someone like Matt James, when you talk about someone like Hannah B or Maddie Pruitt, what exactly, like, are we, how do you think these people walk around thinking they are qualified to write a memoir at the ripe age of like 27.
Yeah. I will also say, like, this is the genre where it's like, oh, this is a printed out website. You know what I mean? Like this, like that's
right.
I don't really, like, when I think about celebrity memoirs, like I think of like people who have artistry of some sort, became successful for it, wrote a book about
for
it.
For them.
Right. Yes. Right.
Like these ones in the Housewives memoirs, like, oh, almost barely books, barely books. I will say this, Andy Dorfman, It's Not Okay. That was like exactly the book I needed after a breakup because very easy to read, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's just kind of being like, she's taking you through pages of like when you're eating Twizzlers and being sad about Josh. And it's like, it was just easy. It was nice. Okay. I liked it with some light themes of like, stand up for yourself. Like, don't date a red flag. You're like, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I did want to know what happened with her and Josh, that psychopath. I think it's Josh. I can't remember. They're all Josh.
I think, he was nuts,
whoever he was,
that guy.
He's nuts. And I wanted to know. I liked that. So some of them are good. I would never read a Tyler Z. Like, I can't be doing it. I have a job. This is a podcast. It's not my job. You know, I have a job. I can't be reading Tyler Z's memoir. But I will also say, like, those are entirely ghostwritten. Like, not a one of them is like, I attempted to do this myself. If they did, I would read it. And I will also say Matt James, possibly the worst decision he could have ever made. Like, that is someone who doesn't want to talk in depth. Why would you agree to a book?
Yeah. A book, sir.
And nothing is more fascinating than the racial reckoning that took place on The Bachelor.
During your season,
like the world was dealing with this issue that got, and you're the most watched show. It got filtered through who you dated. You got back together with her. Like, I want that story. And I know you're not giving it to us.
Exactly.
I know it's not in the book. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Whose memoir are you waiting to hit the shelves? Like, I'm sure
it'll never happen. List. Rihanna.
Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, not coming, but like, wow, what a book. And you you just, her depth is so present in everything she does. It's like, you know, that would be an amazing book. I don't know if she'll give it to us. I don't think Sandra Bullock's giving us a book, but would love it. That being said, I do think Jessica Simpson's memoir, I think, shifted the game in that, like, she was so deeply vulnerable and introspective and went so much farther than those books had gone recently, mm-hmm. and it was so praised and loved and wanted mm-hmm. from women, mm-hmm. yeah. Everyone, but women especially. I think it has encouraged other celebrities to write books where they're really going to tell you their story. So I hope it's inspiring, like, more of those to come. And I think Minka Kelly's is one of those. I'm really excited to read it.
Oh, Minka Kelly.
Yeah, because she's like, she's lived in Albuquerque. My family's in New Mexico still. Right. She had like a single mom who was kind of like maybe like doing some stuff. You know, these are all the things I want, like a mother daughter traipsing around the desert. Like, this is that's the shit.
And she was married to Derek Jeter, or she was just with him for
With him. Also, it was like, she was with Trevor Noah. Like,
she's with Trevor Noah too.
Type.
Well, I want that one. That's a good one.
And she was with Jesse Williams, or, well, you know.
Oh my god.
She do got a type.
She got a type. Yeah.
Oh shit. That's funny.
You beige, you better make a list.
Oh my god. So, Chelsea, you recently got married this past October.
Yes.
Shout out. I also got married this past October. So
what?
Shout
out. Give me all your wedding photos. Link me.
I know. I'll send you. I'll send them. Your wedding, I went through a deep dive today. Your wedding was like a fantastical, magical dream.
Thank you.
So at my wedding, I told the guests the attire was festive cocktail because I wanted people to wear bright colors and, you know, ruffles, cool accessories. What the fuck was your dress attire? Because your guests turned the fuck out. I loved it. Tell us.
Our dress code was try and outdo us. And I think it also specifically worked because Yasser and I dress a little. Yasser and I are so extra. We're wild. So to know us is to know we're over the top. So that kind of immediately told you that, like, we've fucking meant it, you know? Yeah, and then I sent out a follow-up because there was, you know, there was family members who were just like, does this mean like a pink sweater? You know, you're like, I need to tell you what's going on right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there were girls who were like, I'll wear sequin sneakers. I'm like, you're not enough. You're not
doing it. Yeah.
They better have like roller skates on them. So I sent out an update. I said, if Billy Porter would wear it,
you're on the right track.
Okay. If Billy Porter would turn his nose up it or wear it at home on his couch, you're on the wrong track. I would say there were only two couples who truly in their hearts did not listen to us, and they arrived in like a nice skirt and a sweater, and they felt ashamed.
They felt out of whack.
Yes, because everyone, it's like, how many occasions do you have to go Met Gala, you know? And wedding people say like, oh, go hard, but there's all these things of like, well, I can't ruin the bride's life by wearing red. There's so much it was a moment where I felt like you actually got to do it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which, you know, is very important to me. But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
People showed up. It was amazing.
People showed up. I loved it. It just looked magical, everything about this whole event.
Thank you. Thank you. Send me your photo so I can deep dive on yours will. Now.
Yes.
That's the worst part about getting married is that it like gets in your brain and it doesn't leave. Like I'm married, I'm done. Oh, yeah. And I'll still see a wedding dress. I'll be like, oh, what's that's nice? Well, let me click it, you know.
Let me go in. I just followed another wedding like planning account today. I'm not planning.
Yeah. It's like,
but it I was like, this was cute. Like,
this is 10 years for us, Natasha. Like we're
in this. We are in this. Oh my God. So, okay. So we're 4 months in. How's married life?
It's so good. You know, as a comedian, I like cringe at being like, it's amazing, but it's amazing. Yeah. How is it for you?
It's great. I mean, I would say engagement life was tough because planning a wedding on top of our whole life was nuts. So married life feels great. It feels easeful. Mm. We're having fun.
Yeah.
We're going to get drinks tonight on a Monday. We we hadn't done that in a while. So yeah, we're trying to live it up.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I'm a monster. I loved wedding planning.
Me too.
Brought me a deep amount of joy. So I loved that part of it. I also, Yasser was shooting a movie. And so we made a deal that like I would take the wedding and he would take all house stuff forever for the future. Oh, I won so hard.
Wow. You
did. I won so hard. So really I was over here being like color palettes and cake. And like, he's going to be like, financing and
percentages, HOA. Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that swap. That was great.
That's a good one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you ever put you and your husband's life, but definitely like your first like year of marriage on a reality TV show?
No.
Why?
No. I feel so he and I are both comedians, so we get asked to do stuff together constantly. Really early on in dating, first off, neither of us meant to end up with a comedian. We were both like, that's a bad idea, and then we ended up together. It's so weird when your relationship becomes an entity, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's like Dax and Kristen are like doing like
commercials,
so much together,
every home appliance.
And listen,
they're the people.
If we are ever offered a toaster commercial, fridge, you'll see us. We'll do it. We'll do it. Yeah. That's a lot of money. We'll be there. But I like really like my relationship. I really don't want anyone inside it. I don't want to be messed with. Mm-hmm. I really love it. I think as comedians, we're asked to share it a lot. I think the little we share goes a long way where people are like, but I like my relationship. I don't want to ruin it with all my career stuff. And I'm also like, I'm writing my own book right now, and it's in its final stages. And like, even writing about him was so difficult because in memoirs, a bunch of them will write about the greatest love of their life. And by the time the book has come out, like he gone, you know what I mean?
Gone.
Like he gone. Yeah. And obviously I'm not afraid he's gone, but I started to wonder if there was a memoir curse. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
no.
Is there a curse I got to be afraid of? And like, I felt very protective of like, I tell everyone lots of things about myself, but like, I'm really trying to keep this for me so that I can have a happy life.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Would you guys do a reality show with a partner?
So we did a little, we brought Nate, my husband, into our podcast world. We did a little wedding planning, like limited series podcast.
Okay, I love
the whole
that.
Journey.
Yes.
It was fun. But it was a lot. I felt the same. By the end, I was like, I don't know if I want to give them all too much. Like, there's some things you want to keep, like, sacred. So podcasts, talking wedding planning specifically, yes. Me and Nate sit down and talk about a relationship or be on a TV show, probably not.
Yeah, my boyfriend doesn't even have Instagram, so he doesn't.
Oh, my
God,
Justine.
He's a dinosaur.
He's literally a dinosaur. He has Twitter, and he only follows, like, CNN and, like, the Associated Press.
What's his phone? What grade of phone does he have?
He recently just got a Google Pixel 7 something something, okay. He will ride that phone until it can't dial no more. He does not...
I trust that, but I gotta say, if you were about to tell me that your boyfriend had like an iPhone 14 Pro and didn't have Instagram, I'd be like, "That's a cheater. That's a man who cheats."
Yep.
All right. Talk about he's not on Instagram. Yeah.
Oh
my God.
Yeah. So I don't think that would even fly. I think. Yeah. It wouldn't even work.
Yeah, we gotta get my phone, like an Instagram account first.
Instagram.
Right.
Yeah. How do you feel about, you're watching Married at First Sight this whole season, the reason why you're here. How do you feel about how marriage is portrayed on television? Do you think it's realistic, the fights that people are going through? Have you watched a previous season of Married at First Sight?
I have. So this show, I will say I'm a toxic watcher because it moves a little too slow for me. So I often come in at the top, then I hit the recaps in all the episodes, and then I go to the end because I want to know what happens, but like I can't sit through all of it. Mm-hmm. No, I actually can't even believe there's a pool of people who want to be on this show because there's so many other shows about like dating and love. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is the show for cowards. Who want to date, but do not want rejection a part of their reality show. Like they want you to be like, I am with someone. And this is happening. You're like, stuck. I don't want to talk through someone through a wall and they don't pick me. Like, that's such a rude thing for me to say. It's for cowards. But I am really shocked because it doesn't have a great reputation of long lasting relationships either. So it's like, I don't know. I'm like, why do you guys think people still, I think if couples really lasted, I could see why you would go on it. But like, why not do a different dating show that doesn't have you telling your future partners, I've been married before?
Right. And attached to marriage. Oh my God. The show has done really well with black couples.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at how many have lasted, or all the couples that are still married, a good portion of them are black women, black male couples, which is... Okay. I mean, we barely see black love on other reality shows. So for this show to have that is really interesting.
That's nice.
And I think there's a strong like black female audience, at least we see on Twitter, that ride hard for this show. So I feel like
I get watching the show. I'm like, hell yeah, watch the show. I'm just wondering like when you're going to go on a romantic reality show. Why is this the one you would choose over the others? One.
Yeah.
It also might be the only one that you're allowed to go on after 30, you know?
That too. Yeah. And body size too.
Yes.
Until Love is Blind, season 3, this is the only show that's portraying women of most curvy body sizes.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. I don't, you know, I don't think I have a marriage like how you typically see marriage. So I guess nothing looks like how marriage is to me.
Okay.
Like, you know, we're both comedians. Right. We have been living together since the day we met. So such a red flag. Did it anyway.
Wow.
But it also is accidental. I lost my job at the same time he lost his job. And he was in LA and I was in New York. So every time we were visiting each other, we were living for weeks at a time with each other.
Yeah.
And,
oh my God. Wow.
And I just feel like I'm like trying to be protective of my relationship, but like we just have like we loved Pandemic together. It was great. You know what I mean? Like we did not have pandemic problems. So I think, I think like the way they look at marriage on this show sometimes feels like a course in settling. You know what I mean? Like, and I do think it is really important to look at like what is compromise and what is settling within a relationship.
Yes, yes,
but I think that show like tends to encourage settling just a little too much. Like not to jump ahead, but like with Ares and
Let's jump in.
Ares and Jasmine. Like typically I will say this is a season where like none of the couples like each other. Like I'm very disappointed. Yeah, like
shaky.
Like I really am only think one is gonna make it. I think Christopher and Nicole have a chance.
Christopher and Nicole.
When you are not even just neutral, but like kind of repulsed by someone on first meeting, that doesn't usually change unless you're really forcing that shit. So I'm worried for Ares and Jasmine. The thing that makes me so mad with that couple is that he keeps making her being so attracted to him a part of the narrative, when in reality, I think she was just like, I want a husband and you're fine. But she's not like, this is the hottest, most amazing man. He's walking around being like, he's being like, I'm not attracted to her. A crime. What a, you psycho. What a crime. But he's also being like, and she's so into me. It's like, dude, your face is mostly beard. I think when he shaves it, we're going to have a reckoning with that man. Like, what is his face? You know, I don't think she's obsessing over him. I think it's weird that he's putting that in their story. You know?
Yeah.
He's like, she's in love with me. It's like, dude, I think she's just doing her best.
She ain't say all that.
Yeah.
He does go far with it. Oh, God.
He does. And so, okay. So you watched episode 9. What are some standout moments for you? Who's your favorite couple? Even if it's not Chris and Nicole. Do you have a favorite who you're like watching? So,
it's funny because like Chris and Nicole definitely aren't my favorite couple, but they are the couple that I see making it. I think the moment that stood out most to me, and I think you guys might disagree with me, which I'm ready for the debate. I can't believe that Mac, a man with no apartment, whose job description is entrepreneur, came out looking like the better half of this couple because of how Dominique treated
it. Not to me.
Let's debate. Because here's the thing. There's no way I should be rooting for that man in these two people. Like that is not what should have happened. But in the way it happened this last episode, where she's sitting there being like, I'm just over it. And she can't
express herself.
She can't articulate in any way. Like, this man doesn't have values that are important to me. Stability, go-getterness, a basic living situation. Why did you hook us up? I have wants for myself and you gave me a garbage man. Instead, she's like, I don't like negative people. And it's like, Dominique! Say it with a smile on your face. You're the negative one right now. Like, I was really disappointed in how she handled it, and it made me feel sad for this entrepreneur. In quotes,
right? Yeah, I agree. I think Dom has. There's so much to pick and talk about with Mac and why she's not wanting to stay with him, but she's kind of just leaning on the. He complains a lot or whatever. Like, talk about that car ride last episode where he told you he had jumped into a marriage before jumping into an apartment and he couldn't even explain that to you. Like, let's talk about that. Like, she's been stuck from that moment. I've been done with Mac since that moment when she brought up that his life priority is just all out of whack and he couldn't himself even explain. I feel like she can go back to that, but she's not.
I agree. And also, when she's saying, like, he complains a lot, you've kind of only seen her complaining. You know what I mean? Like, so that you can't really get on board with that. Also, you're going to hate this, but this man really seems to be, he does seem to seriously want a relationship. Like, you don't get, like, cheat or fuck around. You get the idea that he really does want a relationship. He did this big move. He's looking for marriage. He's looking for a purpose. I kind of understand that in his brain he went, because casting processes take a long time. He went, I think I might be married. And I think I might, like, build a life with someone. I'm going to stay in this basement. But I'm just saying, I can see it. I could see how he could at least say, like, I really took this seriously. I was waiting for you. I was waiting for my wife. Here's my, I don't know if he has this. Here's my savings account. Here's my credit score. I am ready
Show me receipt,
to build
right.
a life. I was looking for it with you. Obviously, he didn't say that. I'm more concerned if he has a job. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do we have a job though?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I don't know. I really didn't like how she went through the process, and she really, I will say, like, they are a bad match. Like, they did a bad job.
Maybe
they edited it out, but he was like, then you guys are liars. It's like, no, dude, you did a bad job.
Yeah. Pastor Cal, that sit down with them. really trying to save his ass.
Yes. Make them look better. And yeah. Did not work out. I was done with him with the dogs. I was like, so now you got two dogs? God, since when?
Now he has dogs that she's That's supposed to care like, about.
I am also like, I love a love my dog, obsessed with my dog. 5 months? You left your dogs behind? I do. I am a little bit like, that would be my red flag. I'd be like, okay, that's not
love. That's a huge red flag.
Yeah, huge. Huge. You're trying to tell me I'm not asking you for pictures? Where are they? Like, what? That was wild. Yeah, wild. Does your husband watch the show with you?
No. He actually gets pulled into Housewives a lot. Okay. But he is Bachelor Maths. Yeah, he's not yet. Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a show that we've seen a lot of husbands watch. Or we've seen more men. Having opinions or in the DMs or people. Mm-hmm. Justine watches it with her boyfriend, Nate. My husband kind of dips in for this show too. Not any other show, but this show, he's like, what you watching?
Yeah. Yes, okay, so wait, what do you guys think of Shaquille and Kirsten?
They're my favorite.
How come?
To watch. I think it's really interesting. I think it definitely how I grew up, who I grew up around. But I think it's very interesting that Kirsten is getting exactly who she asked for. And seems to be extremely unhappy with that person. And Shaq is getting even more than what he asked for and seems to be very overwhelmed with that person.
That is perfectly and beautifully said. The only thing I have to add to that is that if you're a person who doesn't understand, know, like, or get the concept of kissing, you shouldn't be in a relationship at all.
That's bizarre.
Right?
You need to find the Reddit subgroup of anti-kissers and find your man there.
And figure that out. Exactly. Yes.
That is a core component of romantic relationships.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
But for her to say, like, I don't like it, I'm not good at it, I'm like, what's going on there?
What is that? That's a very weird boundary that she's, like, trying to put up with someone that you already said you're not attracted to. You didn't want to kiss him at the wedding, but now he can't even try to lean in for a kiss. So what can we do? What can we work with, Kirsten? Like, it's just a weird one that she pulled out of nowhere. I don't like to kiss. What?
Yeah. Also, everything else about her is so... I'm not saying normcore in a bad way, but like...
Mm-hmm. I would say normcore.
Everything about her aims for a girl who wants like an engagement photo where you touch lips, you know?
Oh, and, God.
I just don't understand. I don't. There's something weird with that.
Yeah.
I want to know what it is.
Yeah.
Me too.
Her too. Yeah,
who did she expect on the other end of that aisle? Like, what?
Oh my God.
I would love to know who she was expecting.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Okay. Where do you stand with Gina and Clint? What's going on with those two?
I wish someone would show her the footage of him yelling at her as she walked away so that she could just bow out now. You know what I mean? Like,
honestly.
Because I'm saying, him coming back and apologizing and publicly, like, I thought all that was great. I was like, I wish you could see where he goes, oh, well. And he's just, like, by himself, talking to seagulls, being like, can you believe this, bitch? Like, it's like,
with the Jamaica t-shirt on.
Oh, with his Jamaica t-shirt on. God.
Crazy. That being said, like, I think she very clearly hurt his feelings when she was like, I'm not attracted to you and Ginger's. He got her. He tried to get her back with a weight comment. I do think it's not her fault, like, she started it, but, like, she did.
Yeah.
Start it. Like, she was like, you're ugly. Mm-hmm. You're ugly. I don't like you.
Flat out.
Yeah. And you're like, it's like day four, you know? Like, wait till week five. Like, this is common sense.
At least, yeah.
So weirdly, they're both such weirdos. I'm like, are you all going to be able to turn this around? Like, they're so weird to me. I don't know how they got put together.
They're very much like walking on eggshells right now. Like no one, because they both hurt each other so deeply already in like 3 days.
Yeah.
And now they're like just tiptoeing around each other.
And this is also what I mean about settling. Like, should they get married? This is something where in 5 years, when he's a little too friendly with his coworker, she's going to be like, well, you think I'm fat anyway. That wound is never going away, ever.
Yeah.
Like, you hit one of the things you cannot demolish in a relationship. You hit it on day four. You got to walk away.
Yeah. They have a tough hill to climb, these two. They're, mm-hmm. yeah, they're tiptoeing around, but they're
And I want them to back off. I want them to just quit. I do want them to quit.
Yeah. Oh, God. Any other, yeah, any other moments, key moments from this episode stand out for you?
You know, I'm really happy that the guy who sobbed over his dogs found someone.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's amazing. That's a miracle.
Honestly.
Yeah, that's a great match.
He had to go on the show. He had to go on the show.
He had to go on the show. Yeah. And I'm really rooting for them. I think Nicole wants this so bad. She's going to do anything.
Yep.
And I don't mind it because he really does seem like such a kind at his core person. So I'm like really happy for them. I think the fact that Ares is a sex he's a sex hound and doesn't even want to basically cuddle a woman, I think is like, I think something horrible is going to unravel because I mean, tell me what you guys think of this. Like, I don't want to like generalize too much, but generally I've found that like dudes can really go outside their type. sex is kind of sexist sometimes with them in a way that like women aren't. And this is someone who is said to almost sound like a sex addict and with the most beautiful woman. And he's talked specifically about her butt. She's an amazing ass. I just, the fact that he doesn't even want to kiss her is like, what a weirdo.
Bizarre.
There's something else.
Like, I feel like he's hiding something.
Yeah. We're like very much skimming the surface because none of this makes sense to anyone. Like, look at Jasmine. Like, she's very conventionally beautiful. Like, this doesn't make sense. And you're a very sexually free person. You don't even want to like touch her. What's going on, bro?
Yeah. And you're sleeping in bed at night together. Like,
right.
Listen, I know I made it gendered earlier, but like, I'm pretty sure if you put me in bed next to someone who was conventionally thumbs up, at some point, I'd be like, all right, I'm bored.
Yeah, we're going to rub up on each other or something.
Yeah, I mean, we're already married. Might as well, I guess.
In Jamaica, whatever.
In Jamaica? Mm-hmm. Like, also, like, this is, I don't want to be too cruel, but like, it's like, he feels like a man who would scam for a blowjob. Like, he's not even running a scam. Mm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Seems like he would be like, well, I can't get into it unless I get an amazing blowjob. You know, he'd be like, let's see.
Or that's like his objective of buying the flowers on Friday.
Yes,
or whatever.
Yes. Right. That's exactly. So it's like,
maybe, you know, whatever.
We don't even got that going on. I don't trust it.
It's so deep with him. It has to be.
It has to. It's not making sense to anybody.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wild. Any other moments, any other standouts for you? Where is that?
Can we go back through the episode?
Nicole and Chris, anything there?
I'm crying.
You know that her like dorky. Here's the moment that I couldn't believe. Nicole's friends should be thrown off a cliff. Because everyone else went and met with the friends after the housewarming, right? And the friends are like, what are you going to do right for my friends? What are you like? Are you bringing it for my friend? Eris's cousin is like, I don't like her for you. I'm protecting you. Nicole's friends are like, she's a crazy bitch, right? Are you okay? You doing okay? Yeah. It's like, first off, if she's supposedly that crazy, we haven't really seen it. And I don't like the idea that like a... like outgoing woman is a nut job. You know what I mean?
It's crazy. Yeah.
Exactly.
And her friends are just like, yeah, she's a lot of, oh, Chris, are you okay? Oh, Chris, are you all right? It's like, you guys are bad friends. You're bad friends. And you shouldn't have been invited to the housewarming.
I hate that for Nicole too. I feel like she's been told so much she's too much. And then all her friends now ride on that same narrative. And now they keep just pushing that in Chris's face. And Chris is like, I mean, she's been fine. Like, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. And it's like, you guys are like sabotaging them. Like, I want her friend to be like, hey, listen, one time on our first date, he asked her to split the bill. So she went outside, got in her car and ran him over. And we just want to make sure that you're okay.
Give me that story.
But so far, it feels like maybe she got drunk and cried a bunch. And now they're like, she's a nightmare. It's like, okay, well, then I guess I'm also a nightmare.
Right. If this is what's terrible. Jeez. Oh, my God. Crazy. These couples, Dom and Mac, are out. The rest of them, we'll have to see what happens. Chelsea.
I mean, do you guys think one couple is going to make it?
Chris and Nicole.
Chris and Nicole.
Yeah. They're like guaranteed, I'd say.
Yeah.
But everybody else is a toss up. This is just a toss up. I have no clue. Well, Gina and Clint, forget it. But I have no clue.
Yeah.
What about you? You have your bets on anyone or just Nicole and Chris?
I bet more couples bail before the 8 weeks are up. That'd be my bet. Oh, and then also the only other couple that I could kind of see making it are Shaq and Kirsten. But that, I don't know.
They should get to kiss.
I don't know if they will.
We gotta get to kiss them. We'll see. Yeah. Oh my God. Chelsea, thank you so much. This was fun.
Thank you so much for having me. And I can't wait to have you guys on Celebrity Book Club. I want to plug it here, but Video Vixen has two books. She did, and you guys are each reading one, and I'm so excited for the episode we're going to do recapping them.
I cannot wait to hear all about Superhead's life. So let's
And you know, I gotta tell you, I came on this podcast and I was like, these books are amazing, they'll change your life. My hopes are not high for this one. Okay. I don't think this is the direction we're going in.
We'll get some good stories though about our favorite rappers and things.
We are about to get so much goss about so many people's dicks. I can't wait.
Oh my God. Okay, before you go, please tell everyone where they can find you, how to join the Patreon, all that good stuff.
Yes. Okay, so come find me at Celebrity Book Club with Chelsea Devantes. Like they said, there's a couple, so check mine out. It has my face on it. If you like it, then you can come over to the Patreon. But, you know, listen, we go in, so you got to make sure you want to be in. And then on my Instagram, I also, if you're like, I don't know if I can give into a full book recap, follow me on Instagram because I'll like post little snippets and headlines and quotes and like fun things from that. So I'm on Instagram at Chelsea Devantes, and Celebrity Book Club with Chelsea Devantes.
Nice.
Amazing.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me. I can't wait to talk to you again.
That's a snippet of this week's episode.
For the full episode and more reality dating show recaps, join our amazing community on Patreon at patreon.com/2BlackGirls1Rose.
See you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.